Welcome to Talks at Advent, homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia. Today's speaker is Dr. Bo Bruce.
Before we start to talk a little bit more about this story, I'd like to share with you the version in St. Mark, the only other place that this story appears. But even before that, I'd like to share with you the context from St. Mark. It's not as clear, actually, in St. Matthew. Jesus and his disciples are exhausted. Let's hear everything that's just happened. First, Jesus was rejected in his own hometown. And important to our story, at that time he marveled because of their unbelief. Next, Jesus sends the disciples out on a mission to the villages of Israel, where again, important to our story, they proclaimed that people should repent and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Next, Jesus and his disciples learn of the death of John the Baptist. And they're trying to get away and get a little peace, but no one will leave them alone. The apostles return from their mission and tell Jesus everything they'd done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat." And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. But many saw them going. They recognized them, and they ran there on foot around this body of water to get there before they could get across across this body of water. And again, they don't even have time to eat, but they did ultimately get to eat because this turns out to be the big crowd, the 5,000 who would ultimately be fed by those 5 loaves and 2 fish the disciples didn't have time to eat. And so it keeps on going for a little bit longer. And finally, we get to this story again in chapter 7, verse 24 of St. Mark. "And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and didn't want anybody to know he was there, but he couldn't be hidden. And immediately," classic Mark there, "and immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet." Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Lord, yes, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed, and the demon was gone. These passages are quite troublesome to many when they first encounter them. Some seem to think that Jesus is being quite rude here, ignoring her in the Matthew version, and in both stories, pretty much exactly insulting her by calling her a dog. And if they're right, then maybe Jesus is perhaps behaving in a sinful manner. And indeed, some Christian skeptics like to try to use this passage against us. We're not going to get too much into first century sensibilities, but they're quite different from our modern world, I can assure you. And there's little doubt that Canaanites and other Gentiles were heartily popular with the Jews. And indeed, a rabbi like Jesus would be looked upon with scorn among his own people just for interacting with a woman, much less a Gentile woman. And yet we know that Jesus spoke with a Samaritan woman at the well, and she also became a shining example in one of the Gospels. A Samaritan is also the star of one of his most famous parables. So perhaps there's something more deep going on here. Perhaps it isn't exactly what it seems. And as I've suggested above, there is something else going on here. And as is so often the case with these apparently troublesome passages, we need to get the context of the story. Not just the context of the first century, but this story's relationship with other passages. As I noted at the beginning of this series, Jesus and his disciples are really worn out. Jesus marvels at the lack of faith that his own hometown has, and the disciples go off on a mission to the people of Israel where they cast out demons. That's exactly what the woman's requesting here, right? She wants a demon to be cast out. But she hasn't had the opportunity to get that ministry because that ministry was only sent to the people of Israel. And here Jesus tells her exactly that he has only come and only been sent to the house of Israel. And yet she perseveres. She perseveres. She has already found him in this house where he's trying to hide. She worships him. And in the Matthew version, she calls him the Son of David. That actually makes her the first person in the entire Gospel of Matthew to acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah. Where Israel is blind, this Gentile woman sees. And the story is effusive about the fact that she is a Gentile. Both Matthew and Mark point out that this takes place in Tyre and Sidon, Gentile lands. But Matthew notes she's just a Canaanite, which should be enough. But Mark does everything he can to make sure we know she's a Gentile. First, he says it outright. She's a Gentile. But then he specifically says that she's a Syrophoenician by birth, just to make it extra clear. Here is a Gentile being asked to be fed from the table of Israel. In a sense, she's insulting Jesus, right? This wouldn't have been allowed. And so Jesus rebuffs her again, calling her a dog. However, there's a little bit more that meets the eye than in our English translations. There's actually a play on words in Greek going on here. The woman worships Jesus. That word, Greek word, is proskuneo, which means getting towards somebody to kiss them. The kissing of the ground that you do when you prostrate. And that word is actually thought to be a derivative of the word kuon, which is the Greek word for dog. Worship is like a dog licking its master's hand. And that's where this word is thought to come from. And finally, a really important thing is that Jesus doesn't use the word dog. It's how it tends to get translated. He actually uses the diminutive, kunion, which is a little dog, a puppy. Okay? This is only occurs four times in the New Testament, in the entire Bible, even in the Septuagint. It's only in this place. This is not your usual dog. This is a little puppy dog. Okay? So it actually sounds probably a little bit more gentle than calling somebody a dog, call him a puppy, right? I don't know. I'm not a first century person, but I don't think she even is fazed by this interaction. So why are we reading this for the second Sunday of Lent? Well, I think there's several things going on here. First, we need to understand that this woman is on a journey. She's likely come a long way to see Jesus and ask him to heal her daughter. In the first century world, exorcism isn't something you can do to people at a distance. So right away, the fact that she's coming to Jesus shows some faith that she can, like, that Jesus can heal her daughter from a distance. That's an amazing thing. Remember when the centurion comes and asks Jesus to do the same thing? The thing that Jesus says is so faithful about what he's doing is that this guy believes that he can just, you know, make something happen at a distance. And Jesus talks about his great faith. So she has that faith on top of this other faith that she's willing to believe that she can be fed from the table of Israel. So despite us only being on the first leg of our Lenten journey, she's first tested by Jesus' silence. And then it's by his insistence, not that she's not allowed to be at the table, we hear more clearly in the Mark story, but that she needs to wait. It's not time yet. It's not that you're never going to get there. It's just not your time. He came first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles, is what he's saying. Just be patient. Your turn will come. We also have quite a bit of waiting to do. There's quite a bit more Lent ahead of us. A lot of times, we probably feel like we hear nothing but silence from Jesus sometimes in our life. And just like this woman, we have to continue to rely on our faith in the midst of our fast. In the midst of those times when we're not hearing Jesus. He's out there. We must be persistent in our prayers. The celebration and the reward will come soon enough, but for now we must endure this period of fasting to strengthen and demonstrate our faith. Second, we need to remember that we are human beings. In this story, Jesus and his disciples are exhausted. Yes, Jesus is 100% divine, but he's also 100% human. He's circumscribed. He can only do so much. He gets tired too. He can't help everyone. He can't be everything to everyone everywhere like he is up in heaven. He came at a specific time and to a specific place, and his mission was necessarily limited. So don't get too discouraged when you can only do so much. There's a lot of needs in this world. You cannot do it all. Neither could Jesus. So don't get discouraged. Like Jesus, like God does in every one of us, plant and water seeds right around you. Those seeds will grow and bear 100-fold, 1,000-fold, 1,000,000-fold, just as those seeds that Jesus planted 2,000 years ago in a very small part of this world. You do this through your almsgiving. We talked about this last week, not almsgiving in the sense of just handing out money. There's more to almsgiving than that. It's just, almsgiving is your self-sacrificing love. And I don't think there's anything else the world needs more than this. And just like Jesus, don't be afraid to run away from the world sometimes. If he needed a break, you do too. But don't be surprised that when you're trying to get that rest, people are going to find you. You may not feel like helping, but you have to. And finally, like this woman, we need to be humble. Regardless of whether there was any negative connotation in being called a little dog, she accepts it. And even in some sense one-ups the potentially insulting nature of Jesus' comment by calling the children in Jesus' parable or story here, the masters of the dog. The children are the master. And she's willing to be submissive to them. She isn't indignant. She doesn't call up Channel 2 News and cause a stink. She tries to find out what might be true about what was said. And in it, she finds a truth that applies to us all. We are all unworthy. As we say each time we celebrate the Eucharist, we are unworthy to gather up the crumbs under our Master's table. Coming right from this story. St. Ephrem the Syrian wrote a beautiful hymn referring to this passage. And as you know, he's also famous for the Lenten prayer that's used during Great Lent in the East. O Lord and Master of my life, take from me the spirit of sloth, despair, lust of power, and idle talk, and give rather to me the spirit of chastity, humbleness, and patience. To love and to love thy servant, yea, O Lord and King, grant me to see my own transgressions and not to judge my brother, for blessed art thou unto the ages of ages. Amen. So here's St. Ephrem's hymn about this and how he longs for just the crumbs from heaven. And if none who is defiled can enter that place, heaven, then allow me to live by its enclosure, residing in its shade. Since paradise resembles that table, let me, through your grace, eat of the crumbs of its fruit which fall outside, so that I too may join those dogs who had their fill from the crumbs of their master's table. And finally, I leave you with a saying of one of the Desert Fathers, Abba Xanthus, who I imagine this humble Canaanite woman could relate. He said, "A dog is better than I am, for he has love and does not judge." May our Lenten journeys help us all to do the same. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Talks at Advent. Homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia.